All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. June 9th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It's Tuesday. Back to work today. Thought I would come upstairs and see if we could sit down and have a chat. Just got up this morning, went for a nice run. Doing my little kettlebell workout, which has been really cool. No expectations. Just do it. Just do the best I can and enjoy. And that's what I did this morning. I feel great. I thought I'd come upstairs and see if we could catch up a bit. Everything's been going good. I shared in the last podcast I was sort of in a recovery slump. Oh, boy. And that is right on schedule. And sometimes just saying it out loud helps with the issue. And actually, after doing that podcast, I've been feeling a little bit better. And because I have to remind myself, this is a long path to the road we trudge, right? And it has its ups and downs. And really, when I say a recovery slump, it means I just don't feel like going to meetings. It's not like I don't want to stay sober. It doesn't mean that I want to start drinking, because I definitely do not. I don't want to start doing any drugs. I just get tired of the meetings. And I try to think back when they put this whole program together, if that was ever considered, like, one day they'll get sick of going to meetings, and that'll be the tough part. So I'm, went to a meeting yesterday, went to a meeting Monday, which was yesterday. And I'll probably go to the meeting tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, it's good. It's just, it just happens. And I've had a lot of other stuff going on. You know, one of them is summer starting. I've been doing a lot of fun stuff outside. I've been busy. I've had some interesting just different interactions with people that sort of stuck me in different ways. And had to work through that. And so it's just been, it's been interesting. But I'm getting through it. I am sober. I have, how many days do I got today? Let's take a look. Let's be grateful. I have 6,378 days today of continuous sobriety. And I just saw on Instagram, a buddy of mine, he just posted, he has 1 year. I think it was either today or yesterday. So congratulations to him. You know, what a way to stick to it. He has struggled privately. I don't really, I've shared before he would do good and then he wouldn't do very well. And then he would do well and he wouldn't do very well. So I know he's doing well because he's going to a lot of meetings and he posted on his Instagram. So good for him. One day at a time, we can get there. So I thought I'd come upstairs. I did go to the meeting yesterday or last night, I should say, and it was on the second step. I went to the meeting last week, and of course, it was on the first step. And, I don't know if there was ever, and I've said this before. Listen, if you don't like a meeting, grab the steps and the traditions, and go start your own. And nowhere in the traditions does it say a requirement for really anything as far as coffee, snacks, people sharing, anything. I don't think. But I was always told, or I always heard, and this is always some, alcoholics' good idea, but you really shouldn't set up front until you have at least a year. And, that's a lot. That's a lot. A year of continuous sobriety before you can actually set up front and speak. And my sponsor said, you can set up front when you celebrate your anniversary and you will have 365 seconds. Or I don't know what he said. He said something funny like that, something clever. And I was like, perfect. Like, I had no desire to share. I didn't want to sit up front. I just wanted to quietly be unnoticed. And I did that. And then I remember celebrating my first year and I had to sit up front and I was petrified. Well, it's just, and I don't know if it's because we live in such a small town. But, you know, it seems like that number has come down. And then I heard someone say, you know, you should at least have 6 months. And remember, you know, I don't know where if it says that anywhere where the requirement to set up front is, right? All you have to have is a desire to stop drinking. Well, last week, for the first step meeting I went to on last week, the guy had barely any time. And then the meeting that I went to last night, the guy sitting on speaking on the second step, barely, I think he had 130 days. See, this is the, like, these are things that I can like start to, you know, sink my nails into and like make a thing, like in my head. Like I'd never say anything, right? But in my head, I'm like, oh, maybe this should be this or this. And yeah, I don't know what the rule is for that. I know that the guy that spoke yesterday really didn't have any business setting up front and speaking on the second step, but he did a great job. And I think in the end, I think it will benefit him having gone through that last night. But yeah, it is interesting. And it just seems like, you know, it's harder and harder to find people to speak. And so, you know, I thought about it and I was like, you know what? He did fine. You know, relax. Uninvited, Alanis Morissette. What a freaking amazing artist she is. And but yeah, so anyway, I thought I would come upstairs and see if we could chat. And the second step was the topic last night. And so I thought I would give my thoughts on that. Thoughts and prayers to the second step. And, you know, it's, and, you know, the meeting last night, the guy shared, of course, he immediately started talking about God. You know, of higher power, God, his relationship, his searching, his seeking, you know, disappointment, all this stuff. And then, of course, he sort of set the tone. And then, you know, a couple other people shared about higher power and God. And I remember coming into the program and thinking, you know, we admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. That I could somewhat get my brain around because it said alcohol. But came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Immediately, I thought, that's about God, and I don't want anything to do with it. And then to hear the third step, to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding, I'm out. Because I am not into church, and I'm not religious. And then, you know, made the moral inventory and then, you know, made a list and all the other stuff that comes along. But those first, you know, the first three steps... Two and three really threw me for a loop. And of course, last night, the tone of the meeting was God and higher power. And, but you know, that is not what the step says. Step says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Greater than ourselves. Came to believe, right? And what that says to me, and you know, and honestly, it takes a few years to be able to sort of mellow out enough that I could start to comprehend what some of these things were saying. But it says, came to believe, which means over time. You know, I have some time. You know, I shared last night, I probably spent the first 8 years of my recovery working the unwritten steps, which is don't drink and go to a lot of meetings and just do the best I can. That's what I did for a long time, right? Always talking about the steps, working the steps, writing things down, but honestly, not really willing or able to comprehend any of it. All I could do was not drink and go to a lot of meetings and just do the best I can. And in that time period, in that gray area, really, I would not do the best I can. I would make mistakes, right? I would slowly, like the character defects trickled out as opposed to flowing out like they did under the influence of the booze. But, you know, not drinking, going to a lot of meetings and doing the best I can just allowed the character defects to trickle out, right? And I shared last night, you know, a lot of my character defects and behavior were called out and redirected by peers in recovery, my friends in the program. I mean, I've shared many a times my buddy Scott calling me out for being sarcastic and another friend calling me out because I said, you know, I used the word wrong, right? And it was embarrassing. You know, it's all these different things that I've done in front of my friends who said, "You can't, bro, you can't do that." And I was like, "Oh my God, oh right." The sarcasm one, when I called him a Chatty Cathy, I felt like an inch tall. But there was several things like that. And then, right, and then you start to be a little bit better, right? We get to walk a little better. We talk a little better. And it's things start to happen. And then unfortunately, like the dam would burst every once in a while and something would happen. And then sort of all hell would break loose, even in recovery. And then, you know, over more years, I would start to kind of go back and revisit these steps. You know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. You know, it wasn't until years where I, you know, realized that my life really had become unmanageable to everybody else. I was pretty content and willing to continue. I shared last night, I wouldn't be here if I hadn't said yes to accepting an opportunity to go into the hospital for recovery. I was drunk. I said yes, drunk. Do you think you have a problem with alcohol? Yes. Do you want help? Yes. Right? I was drunk. And I didn't even want to get sober. I just wanted to avoid seeing my friends. You know, but I had to go back and look at that because for a long time I'm like, obviously I want to be sober because I'm here in this program. Nah. Because, I'm here and, yeah, something, but I'm not, I need to. Until I can identify what's really going on, I can't understand what needs to be fixed. And I didn't understand. When I put alcohol in my mouth, I become powerless. I used to say for a long time, if I could just sit on the couch and watch SportsCenter and drink vodka, I would. Right? Because I used to think I only had a drunk driving problem. I don't. When alcohol goes in my mouth, I become powerless. I let in a demon and all hell breaks loose. And then the third step where it says came or turned our will, thinking, lives, action over to the care of a God of our understanding means I'm starting to understand. And during the early recovery, I'm getting called out, and then I'm making mistakes, and then I'm addressing them, and then I'm starting to get a taste of peace, and love, and free of fear, and not knowing that that was even an issue. Right? I really just got caught too much. I didn't realize that I was selfish and lived in fear constantly. But I started to learn. And then when they said actions, I was like, oh, you know, our will and our lives, actions over to the care of God of our understanding, my actions. Oh, well, shit, now I understand. My actions have become really unmanageable. Came to believe, we admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our actions have become unmanageable. And that's exactly what had started to happen. And it's just, you know, it's like I go through and then I come back and look around. I go through and I come back and look around with a new perspective. But still living under those unwritten unwritten steps. Don't drink, go to a lot of meetings, and just do the best I can. And then, you know, I start to get it a little bit here and a little bit there. And then I start to understand, oh, if I don't behave this way, all of a sudden I'm not worried about getting in trouble or getting caught. And then I start to have this little bit of peace. And it's always funny, like even in the meeting last night, these guys are all talking about this relationship with God, and they go to church and this and that. And I, you know, one of the things I learned is a person cannot seek out God. You can't self-seeks. Self is behind the seeking. And self can't seek out humility. You can't find God. I mean, I've said it 20 times, right? To me, God is a byproduct of good living through the 12 steps of this program thoroughly, honestly. Right? If we are honest and thorough in our work in these steps, we should find peace and love and be free of the fear that has held us hostage for so long. You know, I'll say it, I don't need God that much. I just sort of live a lifestyle that keeps me in a relationship with God. It's like living in a house and seeking shelter. Right? I live in the house. But I have to take care of the house. I have responsibilities to maintain the house. It's the same thing with my relationship with God today. Be a good person. You know, control my actions. You know, I had a situation on Sunday. I went and did a lady's hair on Sunday, and she didn't like her hair, and I told her that she could find somewhere else to go if she didn't like it. I shouldn't have said that. But that's sort of, you know, it's fucking weird, man. I'm getting older, and I don't tolerate people as well. And I don't know if that's a character defect or tolerating mean people is a character defect. But I just am not, I'm just not into it. You know, if a lady tells me her hair looks terrible, you should have seen her hair when she came in. And I said that. Your hair was looking, it was so bad, and it looks so good. I had to do a toner on her hair. I probably don't understand what that is, but it's, you know, we tone hair to neutralize color, and her hair is so yellow. And so we had to, you know, I had to use this, you know, purple toner to sort of neutralize yellow. And there was like one part on her temple that was sort of purple. She's like, I can't go to work with purple hair. I'm like, it's that one spot. And your hair was like, you know, highlight yellow. And that's all you see. And, you know, that's not, I'm not here to lecture her. But I'm just, you know, I don't know. But I didn't call to apologize either. You know, I'm also not going to be walked all over. And, but you know, the second step, came to believe, it just says to me that in time, you know, practicing the unwritten steps, don't drink, go to a lot of meetings, and do the best you can, in time, I will come to believe in a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity. And what's insanity, right? Continuing to do the same thing over, expecting different results. Right? And then we get into accountability and all these other stuff, all these other things. And you know, but these all, you know, it's not like we walk in, all right, step one, da, step two, step three. It's just hard to do it that way. It's hard to go through it like that. I mean, I know we do it, right? And I hear people say I did it. But listen, I've done this, and I can tell you, it was years of recovery while I was doing the unwritten steps. And then I started to kind of mess around with one, two, and three, right? And in this time, I'd probably done the four step twice and the fifth step, you know, wipe my hands of it. And the reality is for me at least, you start to get into the first two steps and you start to really understand it. And then you start to become curious. What is my moral defects? Right? What is the things that I find in the fifth step? What are my character defects, right? What are my shortcomings? Right? All of my problems today I have are in the sixth and seventh step. Character defects and shortcomings. You know, seeking God is a character defect. You know, I just, it's great. I love it. I love that these guys are new, and I love that they're going through this stuff, and I'm going through it, right? And, you know, and all the time that I had done, and I come on this podcast and I say, I'm tired of fucking recovery. That was yesterday. I feel, you know, I ran this morning and I had to remind myself, man, I can start my day over at any time, and I can start my life over really at any time. Luckily, I don't have to start my life over today, but I do have the option to start my my day over. And but besides that, man, everything is fantastic. We put my dad's house up for sale. That was been very stressful. My dad is actually improving. Went and saw him on Saturday, and they took him off the oxygen, which is, you know, interesting. And the funny thing is, he was never on oxygen prior to going in there. So he's getting better. And so that's been fun. And then, of course, you know, putting the house up, which is, you know, I just got a call. I got to be over there tomorrow. They're cleaning carpets. But I will be really, it'll be bittersweet closing that out when that house is sold and over, because that's almost like the last, that's it, right? That's the everything else I have is just, you know, pieces of paper, furniture, memories. But everything growing up with my parents, everything we've gone through is all gone. It's all gone. And now I have just a select few items to gather to remember all my life. but it's cool, man. It is, you know, I don't know what I was expecting. I you know, as a child, was very, very frightened to not have my parents. And to see my mom go, and I give it honestly all to recovery, right? I don't have to be a victim of my mom passing away. I do not have to be a victim of my dad passing away. I get to be grateful. And thank God. Thank God I was sober. I would have felt terrible if I had, I don't know what I'd felt. I probably wouldn't have felt anything, right, if I was still using. But, you know, being sober and then obviously, you know, being able to surround her. But, you know, this big chunk of my life is wrapping up. And, you know, I've spent a lot of time lately thinking about the end and my, you know, what the end looks like. And it's self-pity. It's a character defect. I should not be doing that. I need to stay in the day. But, you know, I am not perfect at this. That is for sure. All right, let's see. Let's see if we can read the daily reflections. And then I'm working today, and the in-laws are coming into town today for, and then it's the end of summer. Oh boy, my daughter's finishing eighth grade, and my middle son is finishing ninth grade, and then my oldest son is going to be a senior in college next year. Everything is so great, and honestly, I give all that to recovery. So, living in the now, June 9th. First, we try living in the now just in order to stay sober. And it works. Once the idea has become part of our thinking, we find that living in the 24-hour segments is an effective and satisfying way to handle many other matters as well. One day at a time, to a newcomer, this and other one-liners of AA may seem ridiculous. The past words of the AA Fellowship can become lifelines in moments of stress. Each day can be like a rose unfurling according to the plan of a power greater than myself. My program should be planted in the right location, just as it will need to be groomed, nourished, and protected from disease. My planting will require patience and my realizing that some flowers will be more perfect than others. Each stage of the petals unfolding can bring wonder and delight if I do not interfere or let my expectations override my acceptance. And this brings serenity. Mm. Yeah. There's a lot of truth to that, man. This one of the things about this program that have been great, one of the things about my life being free of alcohol and drugs and my life with this program entwined into it, is that every day, you know, I have that opportunity to, I don't have to set a theme, a lifetime theme. I have a day, a daily theme, and always available, right? And, you know, one of the cool things, because my wife is also sober, and but my wife's a bit younger than I am, and so she's going through this period in her life where she's like, you know, we're not invincible anymore. We don't stay skinny like we were in our youth, right? We start to, you know, we change, we evolve, we mature. And so her and I, we started doing a little kettlebell workout. And I may have talked about this in the podcast, but I bought her this little pink 5-pound kettlebell. And, you know, my wife, I think, is like most of us. You know, if someone says, you should do this, I'm like, yeah, get out of here, right? I don't want to hear a suggestion, probably on anything. But, you know, especially when it comes to exercise. And I said, well, listen, you know, honey, you should maybe, you know, if you want. That's the other thing. I try to figure out how I can say things that isn't like, you need to do this kettlebell workout. But I'm like, you know, maybe we could do this together. And, you know, she wasn't thrilled in the beginning, but I do believe, like all of us, if you're older, I can speak for myself. There was a period in my life I could eat and do anything that I wanted and had zero effect on me physically. You know, drink all night, wake up, pop up out of in the morning, you know, eat whatever I want, whatever. And then I started to, basically when I moved to Delaware, I was probably getting to be that age, and I just put on a bunch of weight, and oh my God. And that's where, you know, I had to, you know, make some changes. But, you know, she's sort of going through that. I won't say she's, you know, she's not fat, but she's bothered by it. And so I'm like, hey, you know, honey, maybe we could do this together. And of course she's like, ugh. But, you know, it's starting to bother her. And so she's like, no, show me this exercise. And I sent her some videos, and now she's been doing this kettlebell workout every day. And I'm really proud of her. And then we started doing it together, and it's been really cool, and I'm really proud of her. And I don't know what the point of that was, but I'm proud of her. And yeah. Anyway, listen, I'm rambling. I hope everyone has a great day. You know, hang in there, keep going to meetings, you know, do the best you can, and keep working at it. Later.
Thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure.